If we move from the lower to the upper part of the scene, at the top of this register, Darius stands on a platform before a fire altar and Ahura Mazda, as shown in his usual form of a winged disc. Below this, we see the platform is supported by individuals representing the different regions controlled during Darius's reign. A long inscription identifies the provinces, and a second text carved into the rock face was copied by Xerxes. It is this text that I quoted when I discussed both Darius and Xerxes' interest in justice and self-control. Three of Darius's successors adopted this type of burial, but their tombs don't have inscriptions, so we're not exactly sure which tomb is which. If we move to an even larger scale, to the royal capitals, we see that the Persians had four capitals in their empire. Susa, which was the old Elamite capital city and also where the Book of Esther was set, Ecbatana, Persepolis, and Pisargadae, which had been founded by Cyrus. Persepolis is the best preserved, and it was begun by Darius and finished by Xerxes. All of these royal palaces were in Iran, and they included numerous domestic quarters and reception areas for the king. All of these areas were lavishly decorated with sculpture in stone or in glazed brick. The fifth capital of the Persian Empire was Babylon, but there's very little evidence for the Persian period in this city, and we've already noted that it's the 6th century BC city that is best preserved. Persian rulers traveled between the different capitals according to season, moving from the moderate region near Susa in the winter to the cooler mountain climate of Ecbatana in the summer. Although rulers in previous cultures had traveled throughout their empire, we saw the Assyrians travel frequently to Babylonia, for example, no earlier kings followed a regular schedule like the Persian rulers did. And this progression of travel would also allow the king to display himself to his people. It may have been a remnant of the nomadic heritage of the Persians. The Persians did not have a tradition of monumental architecture, so these royal capitals combine aspects of many different architectural and sculptural styles. The practice of sponsoring large stone palaces is derived from Assyrian customs. We've gotten used to those. And in general, the palaces of the Persians differ in their size. They are enormous. They are placed on platforms that stand high above the plain or the other structures that surround them. Darius I founded the capital at Persepolis as a new center for royal displays that were important to the Persians, such as coronations. As I said, the palaces at Persepolis are the best preserved, and they are raised on a large terrace that rises more than 40 feet above the surrounding plain. The terrace itself was about 1,400 by 1,000 feet and was faced with stone sculpture made from local limestone. An inscription by Darius on the side of the platform promotes the idea that the Persian Empire is crafted from people of many different regions who are united into one under his rule. The Persians use their great size and diversity as a way to justify their divine right to control this territory. And this is sort of a circular logic. Here are all of the lands that we rule. We must deserve to rule all of these people because we have all of these different lands. Persian architecture and sculpture is truly colossal in size. The columns stand over 60 feet tall, and they were topped with a variety of decorations at the column capital. Often there would be some form of animal figure, such as a bull, a lion, a griffin, and these were also quite large, so they could add another 6 feet or so to the column. These animals were typical Anatolian and Mesopotamian figures and provide another example of the adoption of different artistic styles used by the Persians.